There are handouts for today's class out on the stand with the bulletins, if you didn't get one. They're there. Welcome this morning to this session of equipping. We're continuing to study faith, and we're on the sixth installment of that, and we're looking at enduring faith, faith that endures during testing specifically, and we'll be looking at that in detail in just a few moments. And before we begin then, let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into this place today and to study your word together. We ask, Lord, that you'll inform our hearts and minds of the truths that you would have us know. Help us, Father, to take them into our lives and to apply what we learn to our own lives and the experiences that you bring to us. We thank you, Father, for the study in faith that we've been going through. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand the importance of enduring faith during times of stress or trial or difficulty. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll open our hearts to it and understanding as we go through these points today. Thank you, Father, for each one who's here. We ask your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been studying living by faith. And we've talked about faith's meaning and its origin, and we've learned that in its basic and most simple form, it means belief. And faith, believing, that is, has multiple components that we learned. Faith must be known, facts rather, must be known. There must be agreement with those facts and submission of the will to those facts. We learned that the relationship between faith and scripture, righteousness by faith comes from the Bible, as we learned, and entering God's rest depends on receiving the Bible by faith. In lesson three, we talked about or learned about faith, its place in salvation, and the major points there were righteousness is provided by Christ by means of faith, and faith that justifies is living, proven by its work, by the works it produces. We next looked at faith, its growth, and a growing faith glorifies God, we learned as we studied that. And growing faith is growing strong in faith, glorifies God. And last week we were taught concerning faith, its effectiveness in prayer. And faith knows God's words, faith acknowledges God's sayings as true. Faith is persuaded of God's words. Faith draws us near to God. Faith receives or takes hold of the Lord's answer. Faith perceives that it is indeed believing. And faith enjoys confident resting in the Lord. These have all been very good lessons for us to study. And today, as I said, we take up the next topic, which is its endurance, faith, its endurance or perseverance in testing. Now, if I don't get myself mixed up with all my pages here, we'll get started. We're going to consider three major areas as we think about testing and faith. First of all, what is testing? And as you're in your mind, you can go back and think of all the different ways that this word can be used. And we certainly think of our school years. We're not really talking about that kind of testing where we're being challenged as to what we know and understand, but a different kind of testing. And then we want to think about why does God test us? And what does it mean then to endure testing? Or to persevere through testing, or to be steadfast under the stress of tests. in Colossians, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Paul commended the church at Colossae for its steadfast faith. And that certainly is an important component of endurance or enduring during testing, is to remain steadfast. So let's begin by looking at a couple of words and their meanings as we see them in Scripture. First, we want to think about that word that's in the title, endurance or enduring faith in testing. And to endure means to commit to remain faithful to God despite trials and temptations. We can endure something just to get through it. It's a tough time. Something's happened. We don't feel well or whatever it might be. And we endure that. We get through it. But there's more to enduring faith and testing than just getting through it. There's another word that's used in older scripture, in Bibles from past generations. It's an archaic word. It's the word dure, D-U-R-E. And it means to dwell. In Psalm 136, each of the verses ends with endures forever. It refers to God's steadfast love for his people throughout history. He's talking, the psalmist is talking about that, and it refers to the history of the people of Israel, but it also applies to us. God's steadfast love toward us endures forever. It's the idea of his love dwelling and motivating believers to endure. So this old word, dure, means to dwell. God's love dwells with us. We endure the trials and tribulations that come into our lives because we are motivated by his love to do so. And we dwell in faith with those trials. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, it tells us there's a reason for our need to endure. It is for discipline. Now, that church at Colossae was indeed an enduring church. And in Proverbs chapter 4, those verses describe the type of thing that Paul might have been referring to when he spoke to the church at Colossae. And each of the 7 points that are made in that scripture, in that passage, define or describe the process of endurance. There are things that we must do in order to endure trials and testing of our faith. We are to incline our ear to God's sayings. We're to keep them in the midst of our heart. We're to keep our heart with all diligence. We're to put away from ourselves a froward mouth or trivial or untruthful speaking. We are to keep our eyes focused on the Lord God. And we're to ponder the path that our feet take. But the scripture says a man plans his ways, but God orders his steps. And we certainly need to keep that in mind as we ponder our daily walk, that it needs to be indeed a godly walk. And then the last point in that passage says, "Let all thy ways be established." This is instruction to a young man, but it certainly is an instruction to us too. And it describes how Paul saw that church at Colossians, persevering, enduring through whatever trials they were facing. Perseverance is another aspect of enduring faith. It means to persist, to remain standing, to persevere, to remain standing, to perpetuate, to keep on doing, keep on going. Now, on your handout, there's another couple of words below that. That's an, that's a fragment. That shouldn't have been there. I apologize. I missed that in my review of the page and didn't take that out. But we could add in there a definition. We could say perseverance is endurance and steadfastness. So maybe that's not such a bad thing to have that fragment there. Perseverance is endurance and steadfastness. There's another word that we need to understand in this discussion too, and that's the word try. To try may mean to examine one's standing before the law. Somebody accuses you of something and you're hauled into court and you're tried. But I don't think that's the sense that we are looking at here. I think we're looking at a different idea, that is, to prove or to demonstrate or to purify or to refine. Job speaks of that. He says in Job 23, verse 10, when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. That's a metallurgical process, to take ore, if you will, and to work it in a process called trying to bring out of that ore the thing which you are trying to get. In this case, it's gold that Job is referring to. So to try in the sense that we are thinking of here means to purify or to improve or to bring out the qualities that are sought. One more definition, and then we'll get into some other thoughts. Testing refers to trials and challenges that God allows. Now, are all the trials or tests that come into our lives from God? Perhaps not. There are times when we fall prey to our own temptation. Temptation comes from within, and we give into that. That's not the kind of testing that this is referring to. We are referring to those things which God brings into our lives or allows in our lives to challenge us, to grow us, if you will. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," or perseverance as well, "and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So we're challenged by testing to become more like Christ, ultimately, and to refine or increase, if you will, our faith. Well, I'm referring to purpose, and we're going to get to a number of purposes here in just a few minutes, but we are looking at purpose. Why does God test us? Looking back at James chapter 1, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So God does not test us to see if we have faith. He already knows that. If we do, He tests us to refine that faith, and He knows if we don't have faith. So He's not testing or bringing trials and tests into our lives to find out if we have faith, because He knows whether we do or not, but to build us, to build stronger faith. In Psalm 26, verses 1 through 3, the writer says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord." That's another term for try, or to refine, if you will, or to determine faith, the degree of faith, and to improve faith. "Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness." So the writer is telling us, I'm faithful to you. I love you. I want to serve you. I remain faithful to you. But is there the possibility that I fall short somewhere? Prove me, O Lord. Test me. Make sure that what I'm thinking is right, and show me if it is not. In the 139th Psalm, we are given these words, try me, O God, and know my heart. So we have a responsibility before the Lord to seek to his, in a sense, evaluation of our faith, of the condition of our heart. We implore the Lord to show us our sin, to point out to us our sin, that we might then have opportunity to confess and to be forgiven. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So to try is from God is simply to point out to us our faults, if you will, our sin, but to prove or increase our faith. In Hebrews 12, we're told, run with diligence, there's an extra word there, I'm sorry, run with diligence, with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So we have faith, but does it come from us, or is it God-given? This tells us he is the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the founder of our faith, but the perfecter of our faith. It comes from him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Jesus, looking back here, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. We are to consider our Savior and what he went through, what he endured. And we think back to his moments in the Garden of Gethsemane when it was a terrible thing he contemplated, and it was difficult, yet he submitted to his Father and endured the cross for our sake, because what was gained was so much greater. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul tells of his sufferings, and we've seen the lists of things that Paul tells us, that he suffered physically and emotionally as he served the Lord, yet he remained steadfast in his mission, even to the point where he was left for dead in some cases, yet he continued steadfast in his faith and continued the mission that God had given him. He not only persevered, but he remained steadfast. So we can endure or get through something. We can persevere with the idea that we are gaining some spiritual strength, and strengthening our faith through perseverance. But there are those times when our faith may falter. We heard recently how it can be a very difficult thing to face physical challenge. Difficult in the sense that it is emotionally trying, yet at the same time we've heard, but God is in control. And he knows the end from the beginning, and he has my needs in his hands. So we are to remain steadfast. Paul remained steadfast, even in the face of very difficult things, and it's a good example to us. We can too. So we look to Christ as the ultimate example of perseverance. If we look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, we see Christ as the ultimate example. I'm going to turn to that one, where it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. There's that word endure. The race that is set before us with all of its trials and tribulations and so forth. And set before us, looking to Jesus, the author, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our example. And certainly we are enabled by the power of God to endure trials and to be steadfast in our faith during times of trial. So why do we need to persevere in trials? Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 32 through 39, we read, But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Is that not a reason for us to hold fast, to be steadfast in trial? Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And I will stop there. But that's a great passage to encourage us to endure the struggles that we face in the Christian life and as followers of the Lord. We need endurance, verse 36 tells us. And then we have confidence in God's promises of a future reward, verses 34 and 35. And endurance is related to faith. Our faith in Christ is not a single event. It's not a one-off. It is an enduring, an abiding, a continuous thing. We sometimes see people who profess faith in Christ, and for a while they seem to indeed be truly a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then something comes into their life which challenges their faith, and they turn away from the Lord. One would question sometime in some of those cases whether that person really does know the Lord as their Savior, but there are times when our faith does falter, and yet we can certainly come to the Lord and confess that, and he strengthens us. I'm thinking of Job, where he complained bitterly about his circumstances and even challenged God to come and answer his questions. And he said at one point, I just want to die. Just kill me. Get it over with. Let's be done with this. Yet, ultimately, his faith stood, and he indeed glorified God in his statements concerning his faith. He told us that he would indeed in his flesh see God. And we need to have the kind of steadfast faith that we see in a person like Job. So we are certainly in need of steadfastness, of to endure, to be courageous, in fact, in our faith. In James again, chapter 1, verse 12, we're told, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Why? Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So there is a purpose in testing, not just to increase our faith or to develop faith and endurance and steadfastness, but also because God will reward our steadfast faith. So why are we tested? And we have a number of thoughts here concerning that. I've listed, I think, about 9 things that Scripture reveals to us, and perhaps there are more. Maybe you'll think of others. Hopefully you can. Why are we tested? Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 tell us it is to reveal our heart's condition. I get to that passage real quickly here. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we certainly can see where the Lord brings testing or allows testing in our lives to reveal our heart's condition. Another reason why we're tested is to encourage spiritual growth. In the book of James, again, we keep coming back to that passage in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Perfect and complete. How do we get there? Through steadfast faith. So spiritual growth is encouraged through testing. We turn to the Lord in times of testing and yield ourselves to him take us through that time of testing and to glorify him in it. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but rather it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained in it. So we are encouraged through the disciplining of the Lord through trials in our spiritual growth. It promotes our sanctification when we are tried and we yield to the Lord in the trials that we have, and we wait upon him and trust him for his leading us in that time of trial. It is a time of spiritual growth for us. Testing also refines, purifies, it strengthens. I think we see that also in this passage. And in 1 Peter, we see that idea. First Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our faith is refined and strengthened through trial, and the outcome, of course, is as we see here. John 1:9 talks about, I'll quickly go back there. I think I put down the wrong reference. My apologies there, but let me read that verse. It's not what I was thinking of, but the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. I may have been thinking of a different passage. I think it's 1 John was where I was. I left off thing there. That's a good passage in John anyway, though. So 1 John 1:9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, again, I don't think we have the right reference there. If we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's a purification process, obviously. And so we are tested to refine or to purify our faith, as the Lord says here. The next point, why we are tested, to develop perseverance and patience in us. We've seen that already in James 1, 2 through 4, that is a purpose of testing, or a reason why God tests us. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And steadfastness is a very important characteristic for us. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Another reason for testing, to learn to depend or rely more on God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. So Paul says, I needed to learn more dependence. I needed to become more dependent on the Lord. And that is a purpose for the tests that come into our lives, that we will look to the Lord in times of struggle, times of trial, and depend on him for his leading us through that and his developing in us the faith that we need to have as steadfast believers. Another point, to demonstrate our faith. We're tested so that our faith is visible. We've heard, in my own experience, I've heard people give testimony of their faith, but their life does not show that they are truly living by faith. So tests point out that. They can show whether or not we indeed are living by faith, and they demonstrate that. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 36, we referred to this passage, but looking specifically at these verses, for you have need of endurance. Why? So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So testing demonstrates whether we have the kind of faith that's being talked of here. And we've seen examples, even in our own midst, of folks who are living by faith through great trials and testify to God's goodness, even in trials that they are facing, and how he, in fact, sustains them through the difficulty they're facing. We've already mentioned the next point in Scripture, but to correct and to discipline. Now, none of us likes the idea of being corrected or disciplined, but if we are at fault in something, then we need correction, we need discipline. And God does that to us as we need it. And how we accept that demonstrates our faith also and our willingness to follow the Lord. In Revelation chapter 3, it says in verse 14, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, and not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." So the spiritual condition, the condition of the faith of the of that church was in question. And God corrected them. He disciplined them. If we go on through the end of that passage, we are reminded that in verse 19, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline." Just like that church, this is also true for individuals. If God loves us, he will discipline us as needed. We are his children. We disciplined the children that God gave us to raise, and it was for their good. Sometimes it hurt to do that, but it was necessary to correct the child. And God does do that to us. We are corrected, we are disciplined at times through trials. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. What does it mean to conquer? In this case, I think it's talking about the steadfast faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who conquers, overcomes the temptations and the trials and tribulations of life, the one who stands fast in those trials that come from God to prove our faith, he says, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. And then the final admonition to us, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we're told this is the way it is, but you better listen. You need to pay attention and respond in the way that's necessary. Another purpose or reason why we are tested is so that we can receive God's blessing. In James chapter 1 again, we keep coming back to that passage, but it is a very powerful one concerning this topic. To receive God's blessing, in verse 12, we're told, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Then we get the next section there. I won't go too far into it, but it's an important part of this to complete the thought. "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." James is defining for us the difference between those things which come from within, the temptations that come out of our own sinful nature, and the trials that God gives to us to grow us, if you will, to grow our faith and our trust in him. And he's distinguishing between that. The last point as to why we are tested is to conform us to Christ. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 3, verse 10, we're told that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. And through our trials and tribulations that God allows in our lives or brings into our lives, we are conformed to be more like him. And that is a goal of our Christian life, our Christian walk, is to be like our Savior and to glorify him. Well, I've listed a few examples and examples of testing. Scriptural examples of testing are many, many. And I'm sure you'll think of many more than what I've just quickly highlighted here on this chart. We go back as far as Adam and Eve. In the garden, there was a test, the test of faith. And Adam was forbidden to eat from that particular tree. And remember that injunction was given specifically to Adam. He was to be the one who made sure that that was followed. And of course, Adam and Eve both disobeyed God. They chose to disobey. They did not endure that trial. Their faith was not what God had intended for them to be. And they gave in and sinned against God. We come to Abraham when he was asked or told by God to sacrifice his son Isaac in Genesis 22. And Abraham didn't hesitate. If you remember that passage, he did not hesitate to do exactly as God told him to do, to take his son and sacrifice him at a particular place that God would show him. And he didn't hesitate to bind his son and lay him upon that altar and to raise that knife over him with the intent of following God's instruction. That was a pretty severe test. Probably one of the hardest I can think of is to be asked to do such a thing as God asked Abraham to do. Yet Abraham knew in his heart that God was faithful, that God would provide, and he declared that. He said, God will provide the sacrifice. When Isaac questioned him, there's no lamb. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. And he did. So we see that test demonstrating the faith of Abraham in his Lord. I'm going to skip Job for a moment and go down to the last one there, Israel in the wilderness. Look at how many times they were put to the test and how many times they failed. But not everyone, all the time. There was always a remnant of those who trusted God and remained faithful. And we have some of their names in the scripture as that is described to us in Deuteronomy. But so many failed the tests. God was leading them daily, moment by moment, giving to them everything they needed. They had only to trust him, and yet they failed that test. Trust me. And they didn't do it. So there are many other examples, of course, in Scripture of testing, some passing the tests, if you will, and others failing the test. I want to speak a moment about Job. The book of Job is a remarkable book because it starts out with a purpose to prove that a man who God said was faithful was not. And Satan declared, yeah, if you do this or you do that, he'll turn against you. And God said, no, he will not. And you can test him. I notice something about that. Satan does not appear elsewhere in that book as an actor. Once the test was underway, Satan is no longer mentioned, although the testing was by Satan. God allowed him to do that. And then we see a man going through a struggle, probably the greatest struggle that we could have in some respects. It was a threefold struggle. First, he lost his stuff. Okay, stuff is stuff. That hurt because he was a wealthy man and a very prominent man, but that wasn't enough to shake his faith. Then he lost his family. That's hard. To lose your children, for example. That shakes you. Yet he stood fast. And then he lost his health. All he could think of, let's get this over with. Why is this happening? I'm a righteous man. I've done nothing. Remember at the time, you prospered if you were righteous, and if you didn't prosper, you must be sinful. And yet, here was a guy who said, no, I've done no wrong. Yet, all those counselors that came to him, all four of them, tried to show him that he was indeed in the wrong. He had to be, otherwise this wouldn't have happened. So throughout the book of Job, we see a man struggling with the question, why am I being tested? I am not living in sin. Why is this happening to me? And he even said, if I could have God before me, I would ask him some hard questions. And I note at the latter end of that book, God never answers Job's question. He never tells him why. But he shows his glory. He shows who he is. And he humbles Job simply by telling him, asking him questions, which reveal to him who God truly is. And Job says, I now see, and I'm going to shut up because I have no standing. It is, he was trusting the Lord completely. Well, in our times of trials, we do have questions. We do struggle with some of the tests that come upon us, physical things or financial things or work-related things or family things or whatever it might happen to be. Yeah, we struggle and we have questions. But what question do we ask? What question should we ask? Makes me wonder. Sometimes we ask God why. But is that the right question? Sometimes it might be, but I'm thinking it's more likely that we should be asking, Lord, what would you have me do? And we should be then looking for why God is testing us. What is the purpose behind it? We've seen 9 things here, which certainly qualify as reasons why we go through spiritual testing or physical testing. And we need to be in the scripture and seeking God's wisdom concerning that which we are enduring, and seeking to remain faithful to him through taking into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds, his word, and obeying him. There are consequences for testing. There are consequences for the endurance of tests that we may experience and persevering through tests. We see in 2 Corinthians, and I need to hurry here, I'm kind of running short on time, as I often do. We see in 2 Corinthians that God gives grace that's sufficient for every need. Remember Paul and his struggle with the thorn in his flesh, and God said, nope, I'm not taking it away. My grace is sufficient for you in that time of need. So we have that to be thankful for, that God gives grace to meet the trials and face the trials that we are confronted with. And testing is also a reminder of the glory to be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8 talks about that there is that to look forward to. I'm going to quickly go there. In Romans 8, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That day of revelation to us will be greater glory than anything we could ever comprehend in this life. And so the suffering, the trials, the tribulations that we go through are nothing compared to what God has in store for us. Another consequence of enduring faith, enduring, persevering through trials, is that we experience God's protective care. He does protect us. We may feel miserable. We may be hurt. We may be ill. We may be financially distraught. Whatever the test is, yet we experience God's protective care. And the psalmist tells us about that in Psalm 27, where he tells us very clearly, Psalm 27, verses 5 and 6, for he will hide me in his shelter. When? In the day of trouble. So he does not let us go. He holds us in his hand, even in time of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his will. He will lift me high upon a rock. All right, I need to come to a quick conclusion here, and you can read most of this for yourself, but I want to read just very quickly part of a statement from a friend who's going through a trial that's lasted for 11 years to this date. And this person says, we are thankful for the seasons of challenge in our lives. Without these God-directed kerfuffles, we would struggle to appreciate the precious moments of our Heavenly Father gives us as he leads us beside the still waters. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness and that he is before all things. Nothing can take our Lord by surprise, and that truth gives us his perfect peace that passes all understanding. And this goes on and again praises the Lord and describes how God has daily given what these folks need to face this most difficult trial that they're facing. So whatever it might be, God is with us, God protects us, God grants to us what we need to face the trials that we are going through. We need to remain steadfast in our faith to the Lord, and he will see us through. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, this is a topic which we can study at great depth for a very lengthy time, Father, because there's so much in your word that teaches us about steadfast faith and being steadfast in the times of trial. Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in your word. Help us, Father, to dwell upon it and consider it and live accordingly, Father, to bring glory to your name. We pray for your blessing on the service to follow and this time of fellowship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.